Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Transcontinental Race number 9, supported by our race partners Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Wednesday, July 26th, and those riders to have gone through Control Point 1 in Italy are now well on their way to Control Point 2 in northern Slovenia. At the front, Robin Jean-Pierre and Christoph Strasser have opened up a good gap to the rest of the field. While Robin takes an off-road option, Christoph chooses to climb 2,750 metres up the famous Passo dello Stelvio and is back in the lead. This is the route most riders are expected to take. Hannah Lobelestier, race reporter, and Andrew Phillips, race director.
So we're at the top of the Stelvio. It's kind of late afternoon now on day 3, and we've had the top 20 or so riders coming through. Andrew, do you want to tell us a bit about some of the routing options that people have taken since CP1?
Yeah, it's been really interesting talking to the riders at Control Point 1. We had Christoph, who very much sticking to tarmac on his way between Livigno and Bormio, which meant a bit more climbing. And then we had Robin and Marin, who decided to go off-road via Valmora, Valmoster. And it's hard to say at the moment whose route was faster. But we've also had a few riders. We had our first pair try and get over a hiker bike route out of Livigno, only to be turned back by the park rangers, who told them they weren't allowed to take their bikes into the national park, even if they were carrying them.
The team stay out on the road and speak to this first batch of riders as they approach the Stelvio. Tim De Witter, Cap 24.
It was close to St. Moritz, like 0 degrees, and it was raining the whole time, so it was really, really cold. And then I had to stay 40, 50 minutes in a shop/tea room just to heat up, and I just couldn't stop myself from shaking. I was shaking for 30 minutes till it went over. It was really bad. I was really not enjoying it this morning, no.
Are you glad to see the sun come up and hopefully some warmer weather on the way?
Well, I checked the weather forecast and it seems that most of the rain will be over. Of course, I still have one big hill ahead of me, but I will be really happy when I'm out of the big Alps.
Which way are you heading next then?
I have two little climbs, relatively little climbs, and then I'll go over the Stelvio. And from the Stelvio, then I go down towards Bolzano. So I'm looking forward to just sit on my bike for a while without having to actually push anything. Yeah, that would be nice.
The fastest woman in the race is still Jamie Wilson, cap number 4. She is followed by Maria Holtcroft, cap 41, who is around 20 kilometres behind, and then Nicola Shaw, cap 142. Another woman having a great race is Sherry Cardona, riding as a pair with her partner, Geryon Tews. She tells us a little more about the incident with the park ranger.
Hey Sherry, how's it going?
Suffering a bit, yeah. Having a dip, yeah. But I'm just remembering my interval session and counting to 10 intervals. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. I hear you two had a bit of a routing mishap earlier this morning. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, we wanted to take a hiking trail, but they didn't even allow us to get to the tunnel. We wanted to avoid the tunnel and do the hiking, but they didn't even allow us to go to the hiking trail. So we had to go back. Then we had a half-baked route through the stable as a Stelvio as a backup. We got lost. Then had to do pretty steep climbs. Then I had my dip of the day and started crying because we got lost. And it was a steep climb, but somehow it just take it step by step.
James Kirk, cap 27, is riding TCR number 9 after needing to scratch in last year's race. He's approaching Bormio, not far from the scene of that unfortunate incident in TCR 8.
I was just going over the border from Austria into Italy, and an 80-year-old guy with a bit of a glass of wine at lunchtime, clobbered me on my left-hand side, quick trip to hospital, took 20 hours out of the race, and then rejoined, which meant going over Umbrail and then Gavia at night in the thunderstorm, which split my stitches. So that was annoying. Then got to a hotel at the bottom of the Gavia and super glued my stitches in my elbow again. So that was quite cool. And then that held for about another 3 hours in the morning. And then they just all split again. And by which time I had sort of pins and needles in my hand. So I thought I better stop and just sort myself out. So yeah, back into the area of the incident, at least the region anyway. So we'll get through it scot-free this time.
Matthias Wojcinek, Cap 78, has reached the top of the Stelvio. How has he found riding in the mountains?
It was actually good, yeah. I mean, you forget the bad moments. It was super cold, but already now I'm like happy. It was a cool adventure. Something you never do otherwise, like you would never go outside in this weather. Yeah.
Are you going to layer up and head straight down the descent, or are you getting lunch up here?
I get a Coke and then just descend.
Yeah. You're a doctor.
I just defended this year my PhD. Science stuff.
What kind of science?
Yeah, biochemistry. I mean, like, science is so complicated, you overthink everything. And like, biking is so easy, A to B, and you pedal. Like, I think that's what I like about it. Like, no overthinking, maybe I should look at this again, I should look at that again. It's just, yeah, you go and yeah, you pedal. That's it.
In the small hours of Thursday, 27th of July, the team in Control Car 2 are awake and getting ready to welcome the two leading riders to Control Point 2. They will have cycled 500 kilometres and climbed 6,400 metres on their way from CP1 to CP2 in just 32 hours. David Eyre, race coordinator.
We are at CP2 in Zagornje Jezersko in Slovenia, so the sun is just starting to come up. It's the kind of light blue is coming over the top of the mountains behind us, and we are sitting waiting for the first two riders to arrive. We saw a real gap open up between the front two and the rest of the field yesterday, so Christoph and Robin seem to be leapfrogging almost within like seeing distance of one another for most of the day, taking very similar routes across the south of Austria and before dropping down south into Slovenia later on last night. They stopped around 1 a.m. And I've been up about every 30 minutes since, checking to see whether the dots were moving to make sure that we had the control point all set up for their arrival. It almost seemed like their sleep strategies were very similar or even completely aligned. They both stopped near the same town for broadly the same duration and then started again at the same time as well, and are still in really close proximity as well. So as they're making their way towards the CP, there's a hair's breadth between them, and they're just about to make it onto the parkour now.
Shortly after, the first rider to make it to Control Point 2 arrives. Christoph Strasser, cap number 1. He speaks to our race reporter, Ross Brannigan.
You took a short rest before getting here. Was that a bit of a tactical decision? Did you think of pushing on to get here?
No, it was my ordinary sleeping break for 3 hours of sleep. So it wasn't a special tactics for the checkpoint. It was just the way I wanted it to happen, to keep it with a routine of sleeping. But of course it was quite nice that it happened before the checkpoint, because it will be a tough section over there, very steep, and it's good to be a little bit recovered before that.
Did you know that Robin was like sleeping in the same area as you?
Yes, I've seen it. It must be like very close.
Yeah.
And I think it's now 48 hours nearly that we are like head to head all the time. It's amazing. But I try not to watch it too closely, because I don't want to disturb with or making pressure, and yeah, just ride on and enjoy.
Does it make it a little bit different, you know, now sort of leading the race versus picking your way through the field at all?
Yes, it is different because when you're leading, you don't want to lose your good position. When you're, like last year, I was sixth place on second checkpoint. So you think, okay, improvement would be good, but there is nothing to lose. But when you're leading, there is something to lose and you don't want to lose it.
Is that forcing you to push on a little bit more than you would normally do?
No, I don't push more than I would actually do, but of course it is a motivation.
Just minutes later, Robin Champel, Cap 3, becomes the second rider to arrive at CP2.
How are you, Robin?
Good, yeah. Happy that it's getting sunny now, because I'm always... Like, I'm not having issues at the moment going into the night, but I'm having issues waking up and getting started.
What kind of issues? So, just slow, sluggish?
Maybe issues is a bit of a too big word. Just I noticed that I'm starting to get tired in the morning, whereas in the evening I'm still really fine. Otherwise I feel it's okay.
Yeah. What's it been like chasing Christoph through the Alps?
Didn't really feel like chasing, actually. It's just we seem like we're matched at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it was very natural to just ride like we did.
Yeah. When you stopped last night, did you know that Christoph was stopping in the same time?
No, actually not. It was just there was one house that was lighted. And then I entered and he was standing there. But then actually there were four guest houses and I was really lucky. The fourth one, obviously everybody was sleeping already and he booked the room. I didn't do that. So I was extremely lucky that the fourth of the houses was open. Mm-hmm. So I just entered and slept in the hall, which was almost like a room. It was perfect on the couch.
Are you surprised by how fresh you look or feel? You're looking fresh.
Yes, I am fresh. Yeah. That was the goal. I feel like it's only starting just now.
Like Robin earlier in the day, Marin de Saint-Exupéry, Cap 2, also chose the off-road route on the way to Control Point 2. He is currently top of the green leaderboard. David Eyre explains how it works.
The green leaderboard is a new initiative that we've introduced this year. Basically, we're really conscious about the climate impact of the race overall, and we want to take every step that we can to make sure that we minimise our carbon footprint as far as possible. So this is the green leaderboard is a reflection of that, and it is for those riders who have committed to a no-fly race, so travelling overland or by sea to the race, both to get to the start line and to travel home after the finish as well. Out of the 76 riders that have passed through CP1 so far, 20 of those have been from the green leaderboard, so it's great to see them making such strong progress through the course at the moment. There'll definitely be a few familiar names in there for people following along at home. So we've got Marin, who is currently leading the green leaderboard standings, Tim DeVita, a TCR veteran, Paul Niehoff, Maria Holdcroft, and then Julien Roizard, for those who also followed along with TPR previously as well.
Marin arrives at Control Point 2. He's riding an incredible race, despite a few problems over the first few days. Ross asks him about those issues and his close race with Florian Moreau, Cap 67.
Well, not much, just bad legs, and I wasn't really into it. And the first day I was a bit sick with stomach issues. I couldn't eat for a few hours, and yeah, that's pretty it. Yeah, but then, just bad legs. I don't know why.
Are you chasing Florian?
Yeah, I guess he's sleeping. Really not. He's not sleeping. So, I guess it will be in and out every morning. He will be ahead, and every evening he will be behind, and so on.
you guys kind of swap places a little bit.
Yeah, but we never seen. He always catch me in the night, I guess, or I don't know.
And then you catch him in the day.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe I see him today.
You excited for the parkour?
Yeah. It's backwind, so it's okay. Fast, but I guess it's pretty short climbs.
Robert Muller, winner of last year's Trans-Pyrenees race and Cap 197, is also through control point 2 and tackling the 44-kilometer second parkour. He is still one of the 5 fastest riders.
How's things going?
Yeah, I have the feeling it's going a little bit better now. But the first 2 days were really bad. Yeah, but now the weather is nice. So I hope it's getting better now.
Yeah, the weather makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was so cold last night again. I have never thought that in end of July it would be so cold. And so much rain. Oh, horrible.
Have you been, I take it you haven't managed to look at the tracker much, have you?
Yeah, just had a look. That I'm fifth now. And the two in front, Robin and Christoph, they are so far away. It's incredible. They are already in Zagreb now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They are doing such a high pace. Wow. I'm not feeling the way I used to feel when everything is okay. So normally I can go faster, I feel better. But I think it's just too much. I did the last 2 weeks, every 2 weeks I did a race and it was just too much. So this is one race too much. And now I just have to see how I can finish it and still in a good way. But yeah, I need to sleep more and cannot go to the limit. And I cannot ride as fast as I'm used to and as I want.
Anatole Naimi, Cap 232, is also on the parkour.
How are you finding the parkour just now? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, just take my time. I don't want to waste my energy now. So.
Well, we were remarking just now that you seem to be climbing quite fast. Do you quite like the climbs?
Oh yeah, like steep climbs, like high gradients, I like it. I mean, it's really, really tough. Yeah. And after many kilometers, yeah. I just want to finish it before the light down. And then I think I'm going to take a hotel. I want to get a real bed tonight. I don't know, I will see.
Have you been sleeping outside quite a lot then?
Every day. I mean, last night on the bank, the first night outside, and the second night, well, I don't remember.
Have you raced Transcontinental before?
Never, the first time.
Why have you come and raced it?
I don't know, it's a big one. It's challenging. And I like, it's everywhere. Every day is different. And changing countries, it's always new challenges. It's always different. Like the food, the shops, everything. It's really different.
In our next episode, we pick up our leading riders as they leave Slovenia and begin the journey south towards Control Point 3 in Albania. Who will begin to get the upper hand, and can any of the chasing pack make up ground? And how are those riders further back faring as they too look to reach Control Point 2 and the second parkour? You can find daily content from the race on our social media and read our daily reports from the road. Thanks to our race partners, Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.